Dear audience, welcome to the third talk on this topic, how to stay sustainable on open source. Marco Bernasocchi, welcome. Give him a warm applause, please.
Thank you. So, who pays your bills? That's a very good question, and it's something that I want to explore a little bit today, slightly anecdotally. So, don't take me, it's more out of experience than, there's no big theory behind it, or it's what I lived in the last 13, 14 years. As you can see, I kind of have a couple of hats that all relate to geography. I'm a geographer originally, so I live in this fantastic bubble that is the geo world. We always get to deal with data that is outside. We get to go in the mountains. That was what I dreamt of at the beginning. Reality looks a bit different now, but still, that's what I care deeply about. And usually, I give talks in a geo bubble. Now, for this, I added a couple of two or three slides at the beginning to kind of give you a background of what I'm talking about. I don't know who of you knows QGIS. Okay, that makes it much easier for me. QGIS is kind of your main tool to make maps in the open world source. So in the open source world, sorry. It's really big. We're talking about 20 million openings per month. Of people that are actually telling us that they are doing it, so low estimates. Then the next actor of this story is QField, which is something I invented back in 2011, and it is a mobile application for QGIS. It allows us, or it allows people, to go out in the field and digitize data that they care about out there. I don't know. They're cables running underground, or they favorite mushroom picking sites, or you really have this wide range of uses that are happening. And then there is a company, which is the company that I founded 10 years ago, which is called OpenGIS, that is behind one of these, behind of QField, and one of the main contributors of QGIS. I will talk a lot about those three examples because they are very linked to each other and very interlinked to my life as well, obviously. And because they are very, very, very relevant to the question, who pays your bills? This was when I was finished with university. The university asked me to go, and in Zurich, the University of Department of Geography asked me to go and give a seminar on entrepreneurship and open source. I was super happy. I gave it a couple of years, and 1 year, there was a guy in the back of the room that asked, I asked in the end of the seminar, like, any more questions, anybody that really would like to know something that it's not clear yet? And he raised his hand, and he said, well, who pays your bills? And I was like, wow, that's a very, very, very interesting question. I wasn't by myself back then. OpenGIS was a one-man show, doing some developments in QGIS, doing some consultancy, doing teaching, and so on and so on. And that moment was like, okay, well, I'm going to try to answer you, obviously. And I did try to answer him. Turns out this guy, Matthias, is now the CTO of OpenGIS. We created the company together from like my single entity thing to something a bit bigger. And by asking something that most people don't like asking. Most people are kind of afraid. In open source, we have this very, very bad tendency of thinking that money is something we should not talk about. And that's really wrong, because we are working. We are doing cool things as well in the evenings, and volunteer, and for passion, and everything. And that's really good, and that's why I like this environment so much. But we're also giving a lot of value. We've seen it this morning in the keynote, how much value we're producing. And we just need to be aware of that. We are working, and that's good. That's okay. There's nothing bad in that at all. And this question shaped, obviously, our future, because in the origin and how I came to start OpenGIS at the very beginning is because I didn't want to be a bandit. In GIS, in Geographic Information System, there is another proprietary product or company that is like a 4 billion company revenue per year that at university gives you all these CDs back then still with all the software you... Oh, wow, that's now, sorry. that gives you all the software you can imagine, every single feature, functionality that you can use during your studies. But when you're finished with your studies and you want to start a company, well, your first thing that you will do is crack that proprietary software. And I'm not a bandit. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be to have my first professional activity being stealing. And this is how I moved. Well, that's what it is. That's why I started looking into open source back in 2006, and I found QGIS. And then realizing with time that we have challenges. Who founds us? The choice, to me, I really like the environment we move in, but I think that the Free Software Foundation did a huge mistake with the naming, because this creates us as companies and as maintainers. This thing that free means for free, as in beer, and free as in open and in freedom, it's just making life really difficult to tell people that it is not free as in beer. And people do not understand what that means. We heard this morning that you get a browser that is for free without cost, but you are the cost. And then we need to go out and explain that over and over again. And pity, because the concept is fantastic, just the naming was suboptimal, and unfortunately words matter a lot. And then the concept of cathedral or bazaar. What I think, and what I want to talk to you about today a bit, is that there are three things that we need to balance. So when we have a project and we are running it and want to make it sustainable, we need to look at three major points: the product or project, the community, and the business. How do they combine? How do I see them? And what do I think makes sense? First of all, you need a product or a project that makes sense, that is helpful for people, and that is tailored for people. And this is what I see as the brain. If you don't have something that is focused on user needs, I don't think it will grow much. If you want to grow something, you need to think about your users. In QGIS and QField, we are solving problems that were there. QGIS was started 22 years ago by somebody that needed to be able to look at vectors, polygons, that were stored in PostgreSQL. So he started QGIS, and now is this amazing tool. QField, I started it because I didn't want to be inside all the time, and I knew the data are outside, and I wanted something mobile to run on my Android device. So that's what I started. And here I think it's really important to consider also how you treat engineers in an open source project. I like duocracy a lot. If people want something to happen, they can make it happen, but they also have to make it happen. Then your product or your project need a vision. If you're not telling your user where you're going, they don't know what you stand for. With QField, we know that we want to empower people to map and understand their world. That's what we're telling them. This is what we trust. This is where we're going. This is where QField wants to go. It's going to be the tool for you that helps you doing these things. With QGIS, we want to be spatial without compromise. I know it's marketing, but language matters. People react to whatever you tell them, if you are saying the truth, obviously. These are things that we care deeply about in those two projects. These are things that we want those projects to represent. Second element, the community. I see that as the heart. You might have a big brain and be super smart, but if there is no heart pumping blood, there is nothing happening. And here is really your users, your contributors. Take care not to think only of developers as your community. There are many projects or that automatically see, the developers are the community. Yes, but not only. Everybody that translates your project, everybody that helps you push your project, even companies that are pushing it out, all those should be part of your community. And there is one currency, and that is trust. You do things not in a too trustworthy manner, you lose your trust, your project community starts going away. We heard this morning what HashiCorp did. That's a rather big step toward losing trust, but the community moved to the next project. And then you might have a heartbeat, you might be very smart, but without legs, you're not really going forward. And here is where I really see the development. Now, in QGIS, we will see later, it's really this bazaar model where multiple companies are involved. In QField, there is more one company, but we'll see more in detail there. Here is really how the product is developed, what kind of services are there around, is there a monetization model that works? Do we have partnerships, sponsorship, donations, and so on and so on? And these are all things that you need to go and look into detail. As I said, there are different models. I don't say that there is one model that works well or another that doesn't work. In QGIS, we really have this vibrant bazaar where you have 10 different companies committing to core what they have been building for their clients. You have volunteers committing to core. There is a process upfront where if you want to do big changes, you need to submit an enhancement proposal. So you have really this very grassroots, bottom-up kind of complete openness. It's super nice. It makes one thing very difficult, and that is steering requirements. You can hardly say, we want to go in that direction, because the funding is coming from clients at the bottom, from volunteers at the bottom that are just bringing up features, and it's really difficult to manage which way you want to go. You're just more going with the flow wherever your users are actually willing to put effort into and to finance the development. On the QField side, we have chosen, or I've chosen back then, a bit of a different path where the company that I created, OpenJS, is pushing. The project is a GPL project, and we try to mirror everything that is in QGIS, so the openness and other companies can contribute to, but there is much more of a project given direction by OpenJS. In this whole story, going from who pays your bills, where I was by myself skiing mostly every morning and working in the afternoon, to now a group of 40 people, I learned that there are things that are very important in open source, but also in business. If you just see, if you forget all the business part of it, it's going to be difficult to build a company that constantly sustained projects in open source. We are one of the main sponsors of QGIS itself. We have 5 core developers that keep on investing way more than what we heard this morning, like this half a day per 20 developers. We have 7 developers and they are investing 7 like their time in QGIS. So it's you can build something that really pushes projects forward if you put passion into what you're doing. I've always been very passionate about my work. I say along the way I had 7 different jobs, 20 hats, and 1,000 decisions. And in case you are considering creating a company, to me the biggest step was hiring someone. That is something that was really hard. The first employee is suddenly somebody that you need to pay and that you need to be responsible for. That was a big step, but absolutely worth it to get where we got now. As I say, we invest a lot. But now the interesting part. How did we finance those projects? How did we get QField from my last three university credits as a Google Summer of Code into an application that now has 500,000 active users per month, over 2 million downloads? First thing we did was we got clients interested and asked them, what does it need to do? What would you be willing to pay me for making this better? And up to 2-3 years ago, that was the main revenue of the project, was really going out, building up features in QField, building up things that were needed. Obviously, in the early stages of software, that's much easier because there's a lot of things that you need to do, so it's relatively easy to find somebody that will finance some functionality. What we also did was we were cross-financing development via consulting, via teaching, so we were giving courses on QField, and that would then generate revenue that we would then reinvest in development, consulting, the very same thing. And because we believed in the project a lot, we did internal investments also from the company, from other revenue streams that we had. Now, after that, that doesn't scale. I mean, that you need to go out, you need to find clients, you need to have developers. That always ties into somebody else dictating the roadmap. And that's okay. But there are, I think, much nicer way to go, and that is when we created QField Cloud, which is also an MIT-licensed open source product that we offer also as a paid service. And there we were able to start building a model where revenue is coming in. We can take it and use it for development the way that we want. We can start suddenly have a roadmap. We can go in a direction we want. We can ask our users, what would you like? What is the most important thing? But we don't have to ask them, and can you please pay for it? And that's a huge difference, because we can suddenly just listen to all the users, not only to the one that also happened to have some cash around. And we reinforce that with sponsorship and donations. What made it a success is that from the first day, it was really about what is needed. I think that's really key. Bazaar Energy, Cathedral Clarity is something that I know some people don't like at all to have the cathedral model in there. I like it a lot, personal choices, because I know how I am. I know that I will not turn away, and it's GPL. So tight feedback loop and invested in convenience, because what I think, if you want to take something home from my talk today, this is the slide you need to take care of. Monetize on convenience, never, ever, ever on freedoms. All we do is out there. People can take it, run it, everything for themselves. There's no problem with me for them doing that. What I want to be able to offer is for somebody to very easily be able to pay a service so that we get money back for development. Because by monetizing on convenience, you are not touching anybody's freedoms. You are actually allowing anybody to use world-class software with a little bit of investment by themselves. They need to invest their time because they need to run their service themselves. We even go further and we offer a free tier, like you can, if you're doing community work, or if you're just doing small work for yourself, you just use QField Cloud for free. But the fact that we are allowing people to just use the service, a paid service, is really, really important, because that allows us to sustainably maintain the whole project. The other thing we try to do at OpenGIS as a company is to connect the dots. Also, convenience, big enterprises, like things that just work for them. So try to connect the dots. Obviously, we support all the projects. We even created a sustainability initiative for QGIS, even though we are just a company. What we say is every single support contract we do with a client We take all the time that the client doesn't use during the year, we give it back to this sustainability initiative. That gives us 300-400 hours per year of clients, hours that are just paid by clients, but we invest them upstream. And the other thing we do is that we say for every support contract we do, we also put in a half a day of work in the initiative. So we do this kind of work. Because in this triangle, you need to balance the three things. You do need to create the balance that, or maintain the balance that creates sustainability. Because if you weigh one too much, then you are super commercial, community goes away, you lose the community, the project is gone. If you do too much community and you don't have money, then you are in trouble, your maintainers burn out. If you do too much product, I don't have money, I don't have community, well, you're in trouble yourself. So it's really very difficult to manage this balance. And to me, the lessons that I learned was really, first I need value, and then I can monetize sustainably. I need to diversify the revenue streams, and I need to keep upstream healthy, because if I don't invest in upstream, I'm cutting my own legs. How we mitigate the risks, build teams instead of single persons, have reserves and diversifications. If we keep on contributing upstream, the possibility to have forks is much smaller. And obviously, that's paramount for us, is be good open source citizens. Because open source is a real business opportunity with fantastic side effects, I keep getting pictures like this, saying thank you for QField, because now we can manage our forest and it costs us nothing. And on the other side, I get businesses using it and saying, like, oh, super efficient, really cool, how can we sustain? And I just see that money coming in from here and going out the other side in as a product feels a little bit Robin Hood-y, and I really like that a lot. Takeaways, as I said before, support whatever you rely on, that's basic. Having a good community pays back in the end, because they are turning into our main ambassadors now. And sustainability is not magic. It's something you need to keep investing time in. It loops and it sustains itself. If you want to know more about QGIS, QField, in my hometown, actually, that's where I live, in October, we have a big conference, about not as big as FOSDEM. Come by. And beside that, thank you very much. And if you have any question, I think I still have 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Many thanks for the inspiring talk. Questions from the audience? Okay, no question. Sorry.
Hi, thanks for the talk. I was wondering if you could clarify how exactly I guess the structure works between OpenGIS, QGIS, and QField. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like OpenGIS sits at the top and then the two sort of feed into it, or how does that interaction look?
So QGIS is a foundation association, completely separated. OpenGIS is one of the core contributors of QGIS. So the company, my company, is one of the main contributors to QGIS, and my company is also the one that is the lead contributor in QField. And QField is QGIS core, which stripped all the UI and basically with another user interface on top, yeah. But very often when we need something in QField, we can do it in QGIS, and then it comes back because it's part of the, so we need, I don't know, a new rendering engine for polygons. We can do it in QGIS, so the whole QGIS ecosystem gets it, and then because we have a QGIS core in QField, we get it back. So we do a lot of upstream work instead of do it in QField again. There she's there.
So just to clarify, when you were saying contribute upstream, do you mean contribute upstream to QGIS? Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yes. When I was talking about the upstream, for us it's clearly QGIS. Yeah. So we do, when we need something in QField, and we can, and it makes sense to do it in QGIS, we do it in QGIS. Yeah. And even further upstream, GDAL, Postgres, wherever it makes most sense to do, we try to always go as far up as possible in doing things, because then the effect is much bigger.
Marco, many thanks. And small present from the conference, and please, another warm applause.
Thank you.